because we've never done this before. We don't know how much the sound will go out into the garden. So, mm-hmm.
You know, where is that? We'll, recorder?
You can come closer or we can hear. So I'm really blessed, and Sangat's here. I'm really blessed. Everyone's here. Mark's not going to be able to be with us tomorrow afternoon because of a football match. Is that right?
Tomorrow morning, but not the afternoon.
You'll be in the morning, but yeah. Not the afternoon. So we're going to let Mark share God's word with us this afternoon. And I'm very, very blessed for that.
Thank you.
All right, Mark.
Our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back.
Yay!
Yay! No, our Lord really is going to come back, you know. And there is so much in the Bible, in the Word of God, about this subject. And, you know, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, Timothy, all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, instruction of righteousness. He said, so that you may be perfect, so that you may be, now this is great, so that you may be throughly furnished, yeah, unto all good works. You know, and if you just catch that, it takes all Scripture. You know, it takes, it doesn't necessarily mean it takes every word and every jot and tittle and every comma. It's the breadth and scope of it. You know, Paul said in Acts that he didn't shun to declare all the counsel of God to them. He didn't just give them a portion of God's word. He gave them it all. Genesis to Revelation and everything in between. Rightly, with great integrity, rightly divided. And he unfolded that to them, you know. Jesus Christ is coming back. And God wants our hearts on fire with this reality that is going to come. And we're going to see it. You know, we're actually going to see Jesus Christ come back one day. Whether it's in our lifetime or after we've passed away. And, you know, we get up again. But we're going to see it. And Jesus Christ, for sure, is going to come back. And there's a lot to learn in the Bible about this. And this is what's on my heart to share with you today. Because God wants our hearts shaped in many ways. In his perfection, in his will. And it's so true in this area. The hope is a lot bigger than just knowing that Jesus Christ is coming back. God teaches us in his word about how our heart should be. And if you go to Ephesians chapter 3, you know, Paul's ministry largely was to the Gentiles. He was also, he went and spoke to, you know, the house of Israel, the Jews, and the other tribes there, but his main ministry, he was sent to the Gentiles. And he knew and he taught them about receiving Holy Spirit, Christ in you. But after that, his heart burned with a passion that not only would he teach what God has done for the believers, but that it would become real to them. Okay? And this is something more. And in Ephesians chapter 3, and in verse 17, there's a prayer here, and it's a wonderful prayer. You could spend your whole life on these few verses, and it'd just be rich. But, you know, in verse 17, Paul prayed that Christ may dwell in your hearts, right? And that's different than just, Paul wasn't praying that. I pray, God, that you will believe Romans 10:9-10 and be saved and receive Holy Spirit. He wasn't praying that. He was praying that Christ may dwell in your hearts. So in other words, everything that God had put in Christ, in you, Paul wanted our hearts to be shapen with it. So if we were born again, born from above tonight, we would have Christ in us by way of Spirit. But our hearts, you know, who we are, our character, our manifest nature, not spirit just being within, but what we do, how we speak, how we are, how we think. You know, what's going on there? God is the great heart surgeon. He is. And he works with, do you know what he really wants from us? He wants our heart. Because God knows his grace. He knows that he's done all this in grace. But he says, I've done all this for you, but now I want you to grow up into it so that you hold it. You live it. You breathe it. It becomes you. You become it. He's put Christ in us by way of spirit so that we can grow up into him. You know? And the great blessedness that we have is we can all help one another with that. And that's part of the greatness of fellowship like this today. Or, you know, when we leave here at the weekend, or we go to our fellowships, or whether we just have one-on-one on a phone call, it's so special because we can help each other grow up into the head and have Christ dwell in our hearts. And there's, in terms of Christ coming back, God wants our hearts to be ready. He wants you and I today, now, to start getting prepared more and more and more. He wants our hearts to be ready. And there's a lot of instruction in the Word. If you go to Romans 15.
Being rooted and grounded in love.
Sorry, I didn't get that far. There's so much, isn't it?
I know.
It's too rich.
Where do you stop?
Yeah, it's too rich. You don't know which bit to take for, you know, but okay. But look, in Romans 15. We'll get there a bit in love later on, okay? But Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope, that's our Father. He's our God of hope. He has a hope set for us, which is so sure. So glorious, so powerful. And he wants us to really, really know. And he wants us to be so powerful. And there is a great work ahead. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? In believing. You know, God wants us, this God of hope wants to fill us with all joy and peace in believing. That ye may abound in hope. Okay? There are many things which will give us joy and peace in believing. There's many things to believe. But what we're reading here is about the hope. The God of hope, fill us with all joy and peace in believing. Okay? That ye may abound in hope through the power of Holy Spirit. God wants us to abound in hope. He doesn't just want us to know one day Christ is going to come back. We'll be gathered together. That's great. But he doesn't want us to stop there. He wants us to abound in it. He wants us to have full knowledge. He wants to shape in our hearts. He wants us prepared. There are many things in the Word that says, you know, we're to watch, we're to pray, we're to be sober, we're to be awake. There are many things in the Word. I want to just look at a few of these today. And it says that we're to wait patiently for his Son from heaven. But it also says that as well as waiting, and we're all waiting today for him. But it also says in the Word that we're to look for it as well. So let's just go there. This is in Peter. 2 Peter. God's will for us is that we abound in the hope. That we learn about it. That we understand it. That this Word all fits together perfectly. That we have... By the way, can you hear me at the back? Can you hear? Okay. Wave, shout if I go low. God wants us to abound in the hope. He wants Christ to dwell in our hearts. Not just Christ by way of spirit as he's given us. He wants us to go on and grow up. The Word talks about us growing up into the head. About being conformed into the image of Christ. Where is that? That's in your heart. That's where it happens. Yeah. We don't look like Christ physically. You know, we look like Christ spiritually. We have that by way of spirit. But it's something very pleasing to God when our hearts grow in him to become like looking like Christ spiritually. And he sees that. And it brings great joy to his heart. And the more we grow in Christ, the more we are ready for his return. But we're going to abound in hope. We're going to have the joy and the peace that comes with believing the word in this area. Do we need joy and peace? We do. We live in a world that attempts to rob us of our joy and peace. You know, but we're going to abound in hope. We're going to have the joy and peace in believing this word. And it says that the hope is an anchor to our lives. We've got to anchor our lives with this hope. And we all need it, because this world is swirling around. There's challenge, there's tribulation in this world. Okay? But with God and with Jesus Christ, it's solid. We've got an anchor. Abounding in hope, joy and peace in believing. And this is what it says here. So our hearts now, we're going to look for Jesus Christ. This is where it's not only are we to wait for Jesus Christ, it says we're to look for him. And it's many parts in the Bible, but in 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 12, it says, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Our hearts are to be so shaped that we're to be looking for it. Okay? Not just simply knowing that it's going to come one day. Our hearts have got to position. This hope has to be alive in us. And the more we understand the word, and the more we believe it, well, the more joy and peace we have in it. But the more we understand the hope, the more we can look for it. The more you know, the more you can look. So it's a great area in God's word to read, to believe, to grow in. If you take a look at Philippians chapter 3, it says a similar thing. Verse 20, Philippians 3:20. For our conversation, if you read in King James here, it means behaviour or citizenship. It's where we live. For our citizenship is in heaven today, because we're raised with Christ. We're seated with him. From whence also we do what? We look. You know, I'll put it in the singular. Is your heart looking today? Is it looking? Is it looking? Is your heart? Are our hearts, that's what I was trying to say, looking for the Saviour? Because this is the shape of our, this is God's will, that our hearts are looking for him, that we're alive with the love of God. We're alive with the power of God. We're alive with, you know, the knowledge we have, but we're also alive with the hope that we're looking for Christ, because he's going to come back. From whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go back to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. It's not right just to simply, I don't know, turn the temperature down on the hope. The Lord's going to come back one day, you know. So our heart could just get a bit lukewarm with it, you know. The right heart shape here is that our hearts are on fire looking for Jesus Christ to come back. Peter says, the same verse, verse 12, chapter 3, 2 Peter 3:12. Looking for, and then it's this bit, and hasting. Do you see that? So when you look for, it's like you're looking outwardly, or you're looking for Jesus Christ to return. But when you're hasting, now that's something different. Now, you cannot singularly make the Lord come back any quicker. So we can't draw this day, you know, closer. What this means in hasting, it means like a diligence. It means that you get diligent with the hope, so that you look into what God says in His Word, and you believe it, you take it in, and you let it work in your heart, so that it effectually works in us, and we believe it. And it does produce the joy and the peace, and we need that. And it does produce the abounding in the hope. So this hastening, this is how our hearts ought to be prepared for the return, for Jesus Christ. In verse 14, it says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, put forward an effort, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." See, Peter knew the mystery. It says it here, in fact, if you see it. He knew the epistles of Paul. They worked. They were hand in hand in fellowship. Peter went to the circumcision. Paul went to the uncircumcision. But Peter here was stirring up the hearts and minds for the hope. And it says in verse 18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge." This is the knowledge here is the strongest word for knowledge in the Bible, epignosis. And it means that you've lived it. You've actually lived Christ. And actually, more than that, you've matured in it. So, grow in grace and grow in the full experiential knowledge of the Christ in you, so that Christ dwells in your heart. See? The epistle of 1 John chapter 2. Just flick over a page on. The apostles in the first century were very concerned, had not in a negative sense, but as a passion, that the house of God would be, their heart would be prepared for the Lord's return. And all of the apostles, Paul writes it in his epistles about our hearts being ready. And John was similar. John wrote in chapter 2. Verse 28. "And now, little children, abide in him." This is about abiding in Christ. "Abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." And you know, when I think the first time I understood what that meant shook me, because I thought, gosh, it's actually available to be ashamed when Jesus Christ comes back. And I don't want to go there. I don't mean I don't want to go there when Jesus Christ comes back. I mean, I don't want to be in the ashamed heart, okay? I don't want to be ashamed. God, help me. You know, what does it mean to abide in him? Let's go for that with all vigor. Let's really abide with him moment by moment, more and more. Make it our life's goal to abide in him. Because Jesus Christ, reality, will come back. Sadly, some Christians will be ashamed because of where their heart is at. And this is why the apostles in the first century were they were so passionate about, look, your heart has to be ready. Prepare. You know, Jesus Christ spoke of it in the Gospels. Paul speaks of it in Thessalonians and elsewhere. Peter spoke of it. John speaks of it. You know, let's read again. "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence." That's where we all want to be, isn't it? When Jesus Christ comes back, we want to be in a position of being steadfast, faithful, abiding in him. So when he does come back, we have confidence before him. We don't, oh my gosh, I haven't been steadfast, I haven't been faithful. Yeah. So stirring up that desire to be steadfast and faithful and abide in Him is a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. You have Christ in you. We have the power to walk with our Father and pray to Him and say, Father, I want more. Like Paul prayed in Ephesians, for the Ephesians, that Christ may dwell in your heart. You know, Father, show us more. Show me more how Christ can dwell in my heart. How Christ can dwell in our hearts more. Because that's really where it's at. That's a great walk. And that's what we're doing today. This side of the gathering together. That we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. And then in verse 1 of the next chapter it says, behold, what manner of love. You know, John's saying, right, look. Take a look at what manner of love God has bestowed upon us. That today we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world doesn't know us, knows us not, because it didn't know Him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear, it hasn't appeared in front of us, okay, what we shall be. But this we know. We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Yeah. And that's what Jesus Christ is going to do. He's going to finish the job. That day, when He comes back, He's going to fashion us completely into like Him, so that we will have what He has. In a great way. It says today, we have the token. In that day, God's going to bring that seed into full flower, full fruit. But then it goes on and it says, in verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. And what's it talking about? This is not talking about being saved. You know, this is talking about if you have the hope in your heart that Christ is coming back. If it's really alive in your heart, you know, in the context of we want to be confident when He comes. We don't want to be living in left field, unfaithful. You know, we want to have our hearts stirred up. We want to stir each other up. We want to exhort each other, encourage each other to have this in our hearts. This abiding in Him, this steadfast, this strength, this Christ in your heart. You see? Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. How do you purify yourself? You know, we purify ourselves by our heart's desire and going to God, because He's already given us the perfect pure spirit, the perfect pure Christ in us. And we go to the Father and say, Father, you know, our hearts need maturing, our hearts need shaping in every part of your word. But today we're looking at the hope. You know, this is how our hearts ought to be shaping. We ought to be waiting. We ought to be looking. We ought to be hasting. Hasting means putting a diligence. Being diligent takes effort, doesn't it? Being diligent means having a concern, a passion. You know, where do we want to be when Jesus Christ? I don't want to be, you know, of course we'll trip a little bit, you know. And no one's fully perfected in Christ yet in their hearts. Paul says that. He says, we've got perfect Christ in us. But he says, I follow after in Philippians. Not as though I'm already perfect, fully done. But I follow after that I may lay hold on that which Christ has laid hold on me for. Christ has laid hold on all of us so that we may lay hold on His perfection. Today, if we're not born again, we get born again. We confess Jesus Christ as our Lord, and He was raised from the dead. God brings us to being born from above. He gives us Holy Spirit. We now have His nature, His perfection, His righteousness, His power within us. And then we go on. We grow up. You know, our hearts then become fashioned into Christ. When our Lord returns, I want to be so fashioned into Christ. I want to have confidence. I want my heart to be shaping as we're reading what the Word says, how we're to prepare. This sheds great light on the hope. It says that we're to believe it and have the joy and the peace. And we're to be ready, you know? We're to be ready. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. God wants us to know. He wants us to know. And he wants us to be sober and watch. He wants us to understand. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others. That doesn't mean of a night. Right. It means that our hearts don't go to sleep on the word, you know, and especially the hope. Right. When Peter said about looking for and hasting, there's a sense of urgency that we have to get prepared, that we have to read about it and believe it and let our hearts get shapen as the word says here. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And this whole context here is about the return of Jesus Christ. These few chapters here in Thessalonians is all about Jesus Christ coming back. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, we have Christ in us. There is a day coming when Christ will be magnified. Our lives are in Christ. And when his glory is shown, we're going to be shown with him in glory. We're of the day, you know, the bright day. Verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith. Believe in God's word. Believe in what it says. Venture into this field of the hope in the word. Go and read about it. You know, there's a lot for the body of Christ to grow up with and be strong and understand and be able to take things that are written about the future and put it together wisely with integrity. There is so much. So much. But let us of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. There's a movie out, 2012. Many of us will have seen it. Doom and Gloom. You know, our helmet is not 2012. Our helmet is the hope of salvation. Do you know? Moses, when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt, the judgments were coming down. Right? They were in the midst of it. They were there. Moses was speaking forth the judgments of God. He was praying. He was receiving revelation. He was speaking it. The children of Israel had the helmet of the hope of salvation. They weren't looking at the doom and gloom. They knew doom and gloom was there and it was coming. Their mindset wasn't that. Their mindset was the hope of the helmet of the hope of salvation, you see. And God protected them and he looked after them. They were his kids in that time, you know. He's a big God. He's a very powerful God. Verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. You know, the children of Israel weren't appointed to it. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. It's great. Just flick back. You might be on the same page. In chapter 3. This is 1 Thessalonians 3. It says in the word that our Father's blessed us all. with every spiritual blessing, that within us we have the Spirit of Christ, which is so pure, it's sinless. And when we live in that Spirit, we don't sin. And that's really powerful. That opportunity we have not to sin is to walk in that Spirit. And that's really where the walk is. The time ahead, from henceforth, let us all make a strong conviction with God that we're going to walk that way. We're going to walk with that Spirit of Christ in us. Because Christ is pure. He was raised from the dead. He conquered death. He is all bright and glorious. And we have that in us. And that Spirit is holy. It's righteous. You know. And again, I come back. Our Father wants our hearts shapen in exactly the same way as that Spirit that he's put in us. In other words, he wants our hearts and that Spirit to become the same thing. If that makes sense, if that conveys. It's like super glued together. And do you know, there's a tape in the world called amalgamating tape. And it's you get a strip of this. And when you wrap it around something and you leave it, and then after a week or a month, you go back, and what's happened to that wraparound tape? It's melted into itself, if that conveys. It's become one. You can't separate it anymore. That's God's heart for us, with the mystery, with the hope, with the Spirit that he's given us. He wants us to become so at one with what he's given us. You know? We don't want to lay claim to what God has done for us and live like the devil. You know, we want to be what the Word says. We want to please him by our walks, so that we become the amalgamating tape, so that the Spirit of perfection that's been put in us, the Christ in us, that we get mushy with it, if you like, and we become one. Like, there's almost no difference between your heart and the Spirit. But it's a growing thing. But that's the way for us to go. That's the way for us to become perfected in him, in our hearts. And for us to be ready for when our Lord is coming back. Yeah. And it talks about it here. And again, these things were like scales off my eyes. Because I realised that once I learned that God made me righteous and he sanctified, I thought that was great. But then I saw there was more. That he was going to start work on my heart now. He said, no, I ain't finished. Yeah, it wasn't simply that God, I mean, God has done it all for us. But he hasn't gone on a holiday. Today, he's working with his kids, nurturing us, growing us up. In Philippians, it says that Paul wrote to the Philippians, and I'm confident of this very thing, that he, God, which has begun a good work in you, putting Christ in you, will continue to perform it until the day of Christ. He's going to continue working that in us. Where does he do that? In our hearts, with us, you see. God didn't just zap Christ in us and gone on a holiday. No, he's a living God. We have a living relationship. This word is vital. Vital means it's alive. It's abundant. It moves. Yeah? It's powerful. So, what we're going to read now, for me, it was a great revelation. Because I always thought, yeah, righteous, without blame, all this thing, you know, because of my sonship rights in Christ. But God says, yes, but that's what I've done for you in grace. But what I'm also going to do for you in grace is I'm going to work with your heart like the amalgamating tape, so that your heart becomes that way. And let's read it. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even the unbelievers, even as we do toward you, according to that standard. Paul set the standard, Paul and his fellow workers. it's the next verse that really took the scales off my eyes and really shook me. It says, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, with all the saints, means with all the angels. Now, that's where I want to be when Jesus Christ comes back. I want my heart to be established, unblameable in holiness. That's where I want to be. I want to have the confidence in that day that I'm abiding in him there. That's the shape, that's what, where I want my heart to be. And that's where I pray that all our hearts will be. But this is God's will for us. You know? And this is really precious. This gets really dynamic, because this is not simply learning what God has done for us. This is learning what God will do for us today. It says that he may establish our hearts today, unblameable in holiness. Okay? Before God, even the Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when he comes, that's where we want to be in our hearts. That's wonderful. That's great.
I'd like to point out the love in verse 12.
This is what you were... this is before. From Ephesians 3, where Ian said, I left out a bit. It's the love. It's the love. Do you know, it is. Well, do you want to share
something?
No, I don't know.
No, I've got nothing more to share.
Where are we? It's in love. How do we grow up into... It's in love. How do we speak the word? In love. How do we grow up into the head? In love. You know, how do we... There's so much here. I mean, you know, you take me off course.
No, I'm sorry. No,
how do we comprehend Ephesians 3? How do we comprehend the mystery, the breadth, length, depth, and height? In love. You've got to be rooted and grounded in love. How do we really, really see it spiritually? In love. You know, how do we know God? In love, because he's love. You know, and you know,
we covered this at breakfast.
No, it didn't. That's all right, because a few of us weren't here.
No, that's right. Carry on.
Okay. That's great. Do you know what's special about us, I think, anyway? We don't preach ourselves. We preach Christ, of course. But what is so endearing is the love in people's hearts. Because Jesus Christ says, you know, that's the badge of Christianity. That's how people are going to know that you're my disciples.
Yeah.
It's the love. And here, you know, what is it? It's abounding. That increasing and abounding in the love of God, one toward each other. And it's in that that our hearts get established for the hope, ready for the return. Do you know? And that's great. When Jesus Christ comes back, there's going to be a lot of people who are established this way. And he's going to come back and he's going to have this beaming grin on his face. And he's going to look... Of course... All the household, even the unfaithful, they all belong to the family. And God doesn't let his word down. He's covered it all, even the ones who've been tricked out. But what's so special is the love. It's the love that is with people. And, you know, the great things, love energizes faith. Love is the real, love's the thing that makes it all, I haven't got words for it. Love's the thing that makes it live. You know, God is love. The greatest thing is love. Yeah, so here, increase and abound in love. This is for the hope now. Increase and abound, so that God may establish our hearts unblameable in holiness. That's where our hearts have got to be before the return. And the love of masters is certainly precious. And we need to encourage more each other to increase in it. And abound in it. And then that's not enough. Increase a bit more and abound a bit more. And go on and on and on and on. You know, it says that. Well, let's just go there for a minute. 2 Corinthians. These are my favourite verses. I mean, all of the Word of God is great and bright, but this is a great thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Moses saw the glory of God, and when he came down the mountain, He was so on fire with God. He was like bright. He was beaming. And the children of Israel hadn't really seen this before, and it was very strong. And they even asked Moses to put a hood over his face, a hoodie. Moses was a hoodie. Right. They asked him to put a hood over his face because it was too strong for them. They couldn't take it. It was, oh, crap. You and I have something even greater because you and I have this glory born within. We have it. And this is the work of God. And this is in love, and this is great. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all with open face. You know, we heard earlier that the Holy of Holies has been opened up to us. Wow. With open face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed. Texts are being changed. We're being changed into the same image. The same image of Christ. And Christ is the image of God. Hey. It's almost blasphemous, this, you know. But it isn't, because God wrote it. God, this is God's love for his family. God has shared his nature with us, his heart with us. And he wants our hearts shaping like his son's heart, you know. And it can be a great thing to say, well, just imagine if Jesus Christ was sitting here in the fellowship. Well, he actually is. And the more your heart grows in Christ, the more Christ is here. You know, the more the temple of God grows. You know, it's not a dead stone temple like the one in Jerusalem that was in Jesus Christ. We're a living temple. We grow. God wants to dwell more. He wants to walk more in us. You know. And it's all so special. That's why we need to be so knit together in love, increasing and abounding in love, having our hearts established, unblameable in holiness, the holiness of God. Yeah. I haven't finished reading this. Being changed into the same image, I get this, from glory to glory. Hey, from glory to glory. Jesus Christ. How glorious is Jesus Christ? It says that he dwells in the light that no one can approach. I mean, he is super glorious, mega glorious. And today, you and I are being changed. This is the work of the Father in us. We're being changed into the same image. From every little bit of Christ we grow into is bright, is glorious. It's great. You know. So, I don't know, I should sort of finish in a moment, but what should we say? Two verses. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. This is another verse that blew me away completely. It says in verse 14, 2 Thessalonians 2:14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. To think that he called me to obtain the glory that he has is sort of like, wow, wow. And then it says, and this is it, this is our heart again. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions. The word traditions there are the teachings which you have been taught, whether you've heard it by word or whether you've read it in the epistle. See? Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. See that? Good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts with it. The hope gives us great comfort. Because there'll be times in your life where you will be tested. Where you'll be through pressure in the world. And things will just get a bit tough. But you know, the hope, when it's abounding in your heart, gives you joy and peace in believing. We read that early on. Yeah. Let's finish there. Look, we've read some of the things about our God wants our heart shaping into Christ. And some of the finer details in the word of that, you know, where to watch, pray, be sober, be awake. Not be asleep, be awake. Have the hope burning in us. Learn it, read about it, grow in it. Grow to understand where the hope, how big it is. There's so much. You know, we could spend years teaching on this big subject in the Word. And there's a lot we don't know. We ought to endeavour to find out. God wants us to grow up in love so that our hearts are established, unblameable in holiness. He wants us to abide in Him so that we have no shame when He returns. If we're abiding in Him and He comes right now, we have no shame. We have confidence, the Word says. And John wrote, said, whoever's got this hope in him, in his heart, that's alive in him, if it's alive in you, you will seek to purify your heart. It doesn't mean that you can do it of your own power. It means that you've got the power to walk the word, to do what God says. And God is your partner who nurtures you. He's your father who is changing you into Christ. God wants to shape in your heart into Christ more than we know. He wants our hearts to be more than we really understand. This is His will. I want to be ready for when Jesus Christ comes back. I want to be holding fast the traditions. It says in Colossians, we didn't read it, it says, we don't move not away from the hope of the gospel. Steadfast, move not away from the hope of the gospel. Yeah. This is all rich. This will give you an anchor for your life. It'll bring great joy, great peace, confidence. The promise, you'll have confidence when He arrives. And He is coming back. And what a great day. And we put the hope of salvation on. 2012? Nah. Doesn't matter what we go through. You know, doesn't matter what we go through. We haven't been appointed to wrath. We could stand in the judgment of God. Do you know that? We could stand in the very centre of the judgment of God because we've been sanctified and made holy and righteous. We haven't been appointed to suffer judgment, right? In fact, there's a lot to learn in that field of how, you know, we might have a part to play in that. But it's not. We've been appointed to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, the hope of salvation. That's the helmet we put on. We don't put on 2012 dread. You know? If we want to put dread on, we put the dread of the Lord on. But we don't dread the future. Yeah? So, let's be prepared. Let's watch, pray, be ready. Our Lord's coming back. Let's be ready for His return.
Amen.
Let's grow up into Christ in all things.
Yeah. So, thanks, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening.